Hello, and welcome to MTF's This Is Africa, the filmmaker's podcast for anything and everything film in Africa. We're based in Gaborone, Botswana, but we speak on all film news across the continent. I'm Serene Serena, filmmaker and screenwriter.
And I'm Nikita Nelmukhware, screenwriter and actress. Today we'll be looking at upcoming projects, so a lot of new films to watch out for and new series to start following.
Mm-hmm. We're also going to be talking to Dr. Zippy Okoth, who is the current director of the Lake International Pan-African Film Festival, and getting an inside scoop on film festivals and what makes them tick.
It's honestly about time we get someone like her on the podcast. Right? Like, we've been talking about film festivals.
So true. It's always films from film festivals with us.
Every day.
Might as well learn more about the festivals themselves.
Can't wait. Can't wait. There's so much I want to ask.
I'm looking forward to pitching her brain.
I'm looking forward to Ugly Betty. South African version.
Ugly Betty. And yes. What's it called again? Ubetina Wetu.
Hey.
I hope I said that right. I love this. I love the title.
It's just a bit
It's been in the works for a while, ne?
And understandably so. I mean, it's going to be the first Black Betty, you know, like canon Black Betty with a majority Black cast. So it's a pretty big deal. Yep, it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, no, it's huge. It's huge. That time, that the original series itself, it holds the Guinness World Record for the most successful telenovela.
Because
it's been adapted in 19 territories. Aired in 180 countries and dubbed into 15 languages.
That's insane, bro.
Incredible, more like it. Yeah,
truly. And we get to have our own version right here in Southern Africa. What a win. Mm-hmm. What a win.
Okay, so the story with this one is that our own Bettina lends a new job at Nubia, which is a brand management company that values image over substance. So now, not only is she battling people's assumptions about her because of her looks, she's also battling her growing love for her boss that may risk her losing her job, you know, and that job means the world to her.
Yep, this definitely sounds like an Ugly Betty setup. Mm-hmm. I mean, I once watched some episodes from another adaptation of it. I think it was the Spanish adaptation, and it had the same kind of setup.
Oh, yeah, you did. You kind of got hooked on it, hey? How was it?
It was nice. I enjoyed. They made a few changes here and there, but it's always incredible how even though the setup is the same, adaptations still do this thing of like making it feel new and fresh.
And that's the sign of a very good adaptation. Preach you need to take into account the place and cultural background of your people and environment. I mean, that's something that Epi Materia mentioned, you know, because they adapted The River.
Yeah.
So, you know, bring in that cultural background of your people and then bring it all together into a storyline that's familiar in structure, but different in substance.
Agreed. You have to make sure you hit the sweet spot, you know, in balancing those elements. It's not easy, but it is worth it at the end of the day.
And knowing South Africa with its plethora of different cultures, people, and environments, I think this adaptation is going to be hilarious.
You know, I'm ready for the jokes. I'm ready for the gags.
Well, I can't wait to watch it. It's going to be airing on April 5th on SABC 1, though. Okay, but I guess we'll just have to wait and hear reviews on how it is.
Oh, man. Okay, it's understandable for it to be on a national platform, you know, rather than international. Mm. But I wish I could have watched it, too. I love telenovelas.
Yeah, you've made it very clear. You do.
Not a lot, though. Wow.
Nikita, don't lie.
Shh, please, we have a podcast to host. What are you talking about?
Nikita.
No. Film festivals have been going full force this festival season. To give us more insights, we're going to be talking to the director of the Lake International Pan-African Film Festival, Dr. Zippy Okoth. Hi, Doctor.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, great. How are you doing today?
I'm fine.
Thank you so much for sitting down with us, having this chat. We're so excited to get into this interview with you.
I'm excited to be here with you too.
All right, so I mean, introductions. Please tell us about yourself. You know, how did you become a whole doctor? Like, I'm dying to know.
Right?
I think that's always maybe a shock to some people who don't expect doctors to dress the way I do, look the way I do, and maybe to be as young, doctors should be old. And I don't know. Yeah, but I am a performing artist. I did theater arts for my undergrad. And then I did my master. Then I did a PhD in theater arts. And that's how I became a doctor.
Ooh,
so I'm a doctor of theater.
Nice.
That's such a dream of mine. I want to be you when I grow up, please.
Amen.
So let's talk about being a director of a film festival. How is that? Mm. What does that entail? When you say that you are a director of a film festival, what does that mean?
Yeah.
So I am the festival director of the Lake International Pan-African Film Festival. Mm-hmm. This is a festival for films in African languages.
I see.
And we accept films from all over Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Being a festival director, first, it's a big task.
Yeah.
I always say this is a labor of passion.
Hey.
So what we exactly do is we have a call for films early in the year.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, our call for films has just started. We have a call for films from 1st of March to 20th of June. During this time, we accept people to send their films, feature films, short films, documentaries and animation. We do not accept series and multiple episodes.
Yeah,
so after the call for that, we work in a committee, so I'm not the only one there.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the roles of our festival director is to ensure that the committee keeps together, because a strong committee is what makes a strong festival. So I work with other six people. We are six in total, other five.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Suki Wanza, who is the festival coordinator. We have got Vigilance Atino, who's the festival manager. Then we have got Abu Melita, who is our technical manager. We have got Ngobia Benson and Nicholas Adongo, who are also our technical managers, because we thought it's important to have a great team like this. We have been the same team ever since the inception of this festival. And for that, we look at that as a plus.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because some of the things that make festivals break here is when one or two people from the team defect. But we have been able to keep the team strong. And so for that, I'll say that is one of the big roles of a festival director, to keep the team together, no matter what.
No matter, like a queen mother, isn't it?
Together. Yes, yes, yes. So after we have got that call, then each year we choose a group of jury. So we always have seven members in our jury.
Mm-hmm.
And from all over Africa. We have had a jury from South Africa in the past. We've had one from Nigeria. And each year we ensure that our jury is made up of not less than three countries, because we are representing African region. So it's not just Kenyan jury. We have to have representation from all over.
Yeah, it's Pan-African.
And then, the jury look at the films from the moment the festival closes. The jury look at the film. As festival team, we first look at the films if they fit the criteria.
Yeah.
So are they in African languages? Do they have subtitles? Are they from Africa?
Mm.
Yes. If that is it, those are the ones we forward to the jury.
Mm-hmm.
If they do not qualify those three things, those ones are automatically disqualified from being in our festival. We are very strict about guidelines.
Ooh. Oh, no.
Then they look at that for a month.
Mm.
Since they are wherever they are, they work remotely, they look at the films for a month, and we ensure we do not, as an organizing team, we do not interfere with the jury process.
Mm-hmm.
Being that not even most of us, being that all of us are filmmakers in one way or the other,
mm-hmm.
we act personally as ZP. I don't even watch any film before the jury decides. It helps me not to be biased anyway.
Yeah.
So I decide I'm not watching any film. Once the jury decides that their list is out, the list of nominees is out, that's when I watch. Another thing about our festival, we do not allow for voting of films.
Oh.
Because we believe sometimes people vote on popularity, but if we chose the right jury, why shouldn't we trust them to decide?
That is so true. That is true.
Okay.
Okay. You've got a point there. Yeah.
Exactly. So We have the jury decide, and always around August 10th or by latest August 15th, the list of nominees is always out. We do this very early so that people who need to travel to Kenya for the festival can have enough time to raise funds or to even get mobility funds to attend the festival. So our festival happens, it takes place in November. And during November, we have got the screening of the films. We have got workshops taking place. We have got panel discussions. And we also have got directly tourism, local tourism. Mm-hmm. So another work that I have to do as a festival director is to look for funds. Mm. I have to look for funds to enable all these things take place. We have to get people who are going to facilitate the workshops, the trainers. And we are always very lucky. We get people who are very enthusiastic about sharing their knowledge and they train during the workshop. Since 2018, we always have at least two workshops. Mm-hmm. Then we have to have a call for people who are attending the workshop. People must apply in advance to attend these workshops.
Yeah.
Our workshops are free, but we always like limited attendance to maximum 20 people, just so that it is not an online training. We want people to be able to ask questions and to have that one-on-one experience.
Yeah.
Then we have got the panel discussion, which is also for everybody. And here is also where my role as a festival director comes in very handy.
Mm-hmm.
My network of all the people I know. This is the time I beg them not to say no.
Hey,
pulling those strings.
Now this is the time I have to pull all those good cards.
Hey.
Yeah, because we want people who are influential, people who have command in their industry, in what they do, to be able to be in the panel discussions, because it's quite informative. Let me say, if we are talking about something to do with government, let me say funds or, you know, incentives, things like that, then we need serious government officials from different countries to talk in that panel and to share how they each do it. Because I believe when we have that, then the audience and even the people in the panel can go to pick something from each other. If it is about industry stakeholders, like last year we had a panel discussion on women driving the industry, and we had quite a number of women sit in that panel. We even had ladies from Ladima Foundation, that's Edima Otokwon, and other notable speakers. And when we have these people sitting in this panel, and they are all the founders of well-established, creative, and women organizations, then I think it's quite, one, inspiring to the people who are listening, but also informative in knowledge.
Yeah. So
with our team, we help select this kind of pool, make our event very rich. So another thing is to ensure that we have enough meeting with our team members, our organizing team, to be able to decide who exactly is going to come and all that. So in our organizing team, we have our roles very clearly set out. Like I will talk to now I'll talk to the sponsors, I'll talk to now these key guests and all, and then the coordinator will talk to all the filmmakers who have sent their films, who have been selected. We like to inform them about travel plans, giving them itineraries. If those ones want to come and attend, we have to communicate to them. We tell them these are the range of hotels, from as low as $10 to as much as $200, so somebody can book a place according to their taste.
That's very helpful.
We do that to them, so that they feel welcome, they feel at home. So that when somebody is coming and they say they've come for Lip Festival, we tell them there's always an offer. We always get discounts, even 10 or 20, 30% discount.
Wow. And Peter, let's go for the Lake International Film Festival.
I'm just saying. Should come for the Lake International Film Festival.
So then about the Lake Festival, what makes it different from the rest? You know, there's so many other film festivals going on. What makes the Lake International one a little bit more different?
because it's specifically for films in African languages. Mm-hmm. You see, we have with a lot of film festivals who say they are picking films from Africa and all that.
Yeah.
But for us, it doesn't matter if it's from Africa. If it is not in African languages, let me just say, if it is in English, it is disqualified.
Okay, I just want to know a bit of specifics. You know, like, take, for example, from Botswana, we code switch in general. Mm. So, you know, I'll be speaking, say, what if it's, say...
Setswana.
No, let me finesse my question. What if, say, it's 60% Setswana and 40% English?
Yeah.
Is it
that's okay.
That one is
fine. We always say it has to be how do I put it? Like 70% in local language.
Uh-huh.
The reason why was something like Swahili is a mix of Bantu and Hindu.
Yeah.
And something like right now in Kenya, we also have a language we call Sheng. Sheng is like a mix of Kiswahili and other local languages with a bit of English.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we speak it, you don't even know where it falls, but you see. So
yeah.
That one, that's like, how do you call it? Like when we say Francophone and when we say French. You get what I mean?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, like now Francophone is kind of like the mix of the African and the French,
yeah.
And then the pure French is like pure French.
Mm-hmm.
So when it is a mix, then we say, as long as it is highly in the African language,
in the native
like
language.
When I'm listening to it, am I hearing more of the English or am I hearing more of the local?
Yeah.
It's that simple, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But we always tell guys, you can't calculate the total words, but when I am done watching this film, do I remember it was in English or do I remember it was in local language?
Mm-hmm.
That alone should tell you whether it falls in. Yeah.
Oh, and I love that because that's how we, what's the word? My words are missing me. But that's basically how we promote, you know, our African languages.
Yes.
You know, that's how we show that that's how we communicate. This is how we express ourselves as Africans. And that's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah, actually, we believe that when stories are told in native languages, then there is a way even the actors express themselves in a real natural and true way. And even there are some words that are only sweet when told in your mother tongue.
So true. You can try to translate it as much as you can, but you end up missing that meaning.
Yeah, no. So much more expression and creativity.
And this is not just for African languages. Even if you look at some of the European films, when the Spanish act in Spain, when they speak that local language, you're like, wow. Then when it's translated to English, you're feeling like, there's something lost in the tone of this guy's voice, you know.
That's so true.
Yeah.
That's so true. So submissions for this year's festival are still ongoing. What's this year's theme for hopeful applicants? And can you give any advice, especially for newbies?
The submission is ongoing. It is going to end on 20th of June. Our theme is Disrupt the Narrative.
Mm-hmm.
However, our themes don't really affect the films. It mainly affects the workshops and the panel discussions. So don't worry about the theme when it comes to submission of the films. We charge very little. We started charging our festival this year because this is the sixth year. We said, you have trusted us enough. You have believed in us this much. So it's time people to walk with us the journey so that we can at least afford to pay the jury well.
Yeah.
We are charging very minimal. So for the feature documentaries and films, we are only charging $20.
Uh-huh,
and then for the short films, short documentaries, anything below 30 minutes, those ones we are charging $10.
Mm-hmm.
Student films, we are charging $5.
Mm.
Yeah, that's all. So it's very, very, if you look at the scope of the festivals on Film Freeway, you'll realize people go even as high as $50, even $35, $40.
It's not cheap.
It's not.
Yeah,
it's
so not. We have done 20.
Okay.
Yeah, because so, we are like, we understand. We understand the economy and COVID is crazy. Yeah.
So
but
easy.
One thing we commend ourselves for, last year it was very tight for us. We were not able to have a physical festival, but we had an online festival and we had such a great attendance on all the workshops,
wonderful
panel discussions and open forums.
Mm.
So, and we had around 30,000 people attending our festival on all the online platforms. And for us, we were like, this is it. This is it.
Yeah.
This is it.
You cracked the code.
You know, all those people who had been saying, oh, I couldn't get fans to travel, they were now able to attend. Mm. But you see, if you are having an online event happening and it's hours, a panel discussion is on for 2 hours, and the number of people who are watching at a particular given time are over 100 or 200, then you know this is good.
Yeah.
This is good.
No,
yeah, really, because a lot of times you just find a panel discussion is going on and you just have 20, 30 people consistently. But here you are having like 200 people consistently during that. It's fine. And by the end of 1 week, you find like the views have doubled because people heard that it was good and went back to watch it.
Yeah, no, online film festivals definitely, I feel, have a future in a lot of our endeavors. And just speaking of the future, like, what's your hope for the future of film festivals in Africa, especially considering your recent success, you know, with last year's online film festival? What are you seeing, like, oh my gosh, I hope we can achieve this as film festivals in Africa moving forward?
What we plan is to have a blended festival so that we stream all our panel discussions and our workshops online so that those who are away can be able to attend that. Yes. However, there is something that is beautiful about just being there. So I will always still being having that. My background is theater. I always say there's something about the live theater that you can never take away, no matter how beautiful a movie is. So so being there means you're going to meet people, share ideas. You have unlimited time to ask questions and all. Mm. Being online, it means you can attend from wherever you are, also still just be able to have all that information. So we will have a blended one. Mm-hmm. For those who are able to attend, let them come meet people, enjoy our culture, and just meet filmmakers and create collaborations, you know. Sometimes when you meet, you're able to tell that this is the kind of person I think I'd be able to do this collaboration
with. So true.
And if we can have international collaborations, just that surely means we are having an extended audience.
Oh, definitely.
Actually, even in 2019, we had a lady from Botswana attend our festival.
Shout out.
Mm-hmm.
It was the beginning. It was just the beginning.
We're coming.
We are there already.
We're here already. We're connecting with you. And speaking of connections, where and how can we connect with you? Mm-hmm. You know, we want to talk to you, Dr. Rokoff.
Anyone else wants to talk to you? How can they connect with you?
How they can connect with me? I am on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter as Dr. ZP Okoth.
All right. Thank you so much. This is amazing.
I am a bit old fashioned. I respond faster to Facebook, but you know, I am on all of them.
It's all right.
Facebook,
all right.
Instagram, and Twitter. Dr. Zippy Okoth, I'm there.
Oh, great.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much,
Dr. Okoth. This has been such a wonderful discussion. Thank you for your insight on film festivals and how it goes.
Thank you so much, too.
That was so enlightening.
Right?
She had so much to tell us about. Like, I knew, but also I didn't. But I didn't. But I did. But
there's
I did.
So much about festivals that we know nothing about. Like, just the fact that that whole organization period takes a lot. And then even just the selection period.
Yeah.
It's a whole year.
It's a year-long dedication. Mm. And like, now that we know, we can appreciate the films that make it into the festivals even more, you know? Like, Engaito, I'm hoping I'm saying that correctly. But Engaito, which has been nominated in the Uganda Film Festival 2021 in the Best Students Film category.
Yes, and that's the film that the latest batch of Multichoice Talent Factory students produced, right?
Whoop, 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 yeah? Whoop, whoop. Yep. And it's already making waves as we can see, you know what I mean?
I mean, I was really interested in it because it's a comedy. And personally, I rarely hear of comedies going to festivals. Maybe I'm not doing my research. But, you know, they do. But normally, film festivals are films are those deep, sad, yep. indulgent yep. ones. Those are the ones that get headlines.
We should know. We've been reporting on them.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, hearing about a comedy going into one, it's like, oh, cool.
I'm excited. I like things that are different.
Yeah. So, the actual film, it's about Musana, mm-hmm. a 14-year-old boy, and he leaves town with his father, you know, due to harsh conditions, to go live in a very deep village where they consider wearing shoes a curse.
Okay, sorry. Go on. I'm sorry, I really like this concept.
Okay. On his first day, when he reports at school wearing shoes, Musana's mistreated by the whole school, including the headmaster who curses him and calls him a witch. It calls him a witch. Can I continue? I'm trying to tell the story. Why are you laughing? Continue. So it is when the long-awaited Minister of Education comes to visit the school, and he comes to visit the school while wearing shoes.
Oh, he wears shoes. That's because he's not in the village, right?
Yes. And that's when the whole school gets to know that, oh, it's okay to wear shoes. It's actually not a bad... Okay, I get it. Like, it's just...
You know what really makes me laugh about this? I'd like to pick their brains now.
Yeah.
Why do they think of shoes as being the absurd thing? Like, bro. I need to watch that film
imagine going back to the home village and people are like, hey, are those sandals? Take them off. Okay.
No, it's crazy.
Synopsis alone is hilarious.
That's crazy.
The absurdity of it all. That's like, wow, guys.
No, I love it.
What an achievement, honestly. Like, to think that it went from being a student project with a banger of a synopsis to being nominated. I think that's just, you know, a big well done to that team, especially since they're students.
Right? Mm. And just, you know, specifically the team, well done, Isiko Abubakar, mm-hmm. Talema Pius, mm. Victoria Nakimboa, and Daisy Masembe.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are making the moves.
Yeah, we see it. Wow. So their film is it's said to be streaming exclusively to all MultiChoice viewers on Showmax. So that's something to add to the list.
Done.
Mm.
No, like already. Yeah, no, it's yeah.
It's on the list.
It's ticked.
Look at us. Ha! How long is the list?
We're not talking about
that. We always ask and we always avoid the question. I pretend I do not see. Until it's time to watch, you know.
Good strategy.
Thank you. But also, yes, I'm about to mention another film. We may or may not add it.
No, it's fine. Talk about it.
Because it's been a long time coming. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time coming. Steven Spielberg is finally getting his own biopic.
Hey.
Finally. Finally.
Hey.
Finally.
Hey, that's the GOAT himself. That's Steven Spielberg.
He finally unlocked the achievement, bruh. Like, gosh, we've been waiting.
So what I heard about it is that it's covering his entire life. That's what I heard. But like, it's rumors, right? It's like his entire life, or is it just professional career?
You see, here's the thing. Okay, so it's a film loosely based on his childhood growing up in Arizona.
That's it. So it's not a biopic.
We'll also examine, you know, the character's relationship with his parents, and it'll be split across different time periods. So maybe they'll cover more of his life from there.
Okay, but then is the character based on him, or is the character him?
They're refusing to tell. Spielberg himself, but he said to be producing, writing, directing the film itself. You know, the typical Spielberg.
I don't know, but then it's sounding less of a biopic and more of a typical fictional drama. That's how fiction works.
Yeah.
You can write a story that's kind of like how things went in your life, but then it's fiction based on a true story.
Yeah, so but then, it's kind of getting marketed like it's biopic. But since it's, you know, sort of based on his childhood, I guess that's why people like to think, oh, this is it. This is his biopic. It's based on his childhood and experiences.
Yeah, and he's writing it, and he's directing it, and he's producing it.
Hey, man, I'm just here to report the news, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm a huge fan of Steven Spielberg and his work, and I guess I've been looking forward to a biopic of him for forever.
Would be nice.
So I do really have high hopes for it.
Hey,
I really do.
Don't blame me if it's not what we think it is. There are too many rumors.
You talked about it already.
What? Gosh darn it. No.
Stop it.
But anyway, I'm excited for this new film, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
And there's a new series now.
Mm-hmm.
It's animation.
Hey.
And it's called Super Sema.
Super Sema! Oh my gosh! I forgot. Oh, I forgot the title sequence music. It's so sweet though. It's
right.
So cute.
And the fact that it's Africa's first superhero animated series.
More like Africa's cutest animated series. It's so terrible, guys. It's
That's the cutest thing. I love it. I love it. And those, like, the characters are just so. Bubbly and the lively.
And it's like.
The kids.
I want to be in that world. I want to chill with Sema. My gosh.
Right?
You.
But let's talk about it. It's a Kenyan animated superhero series that's debuted on YouTube on March 8th, the was International Women's Day.
Hey.
It's got 8 episodes and it follows the lives of a 10-year-old girl who lives in a futuristic African world, and she uses powers that are fueled by STEAM.
Uh-huh.
STEAM stands for science, tech, engineering, arts, and math.
Hey.
So she uses those powers to save her village from a robot villain.
Oh my gosh, yes. Because I watched the first episode and I was shocked to see that the bad guy, like I was shocked but not shocked, but I was still shocked to see that the bad guy, he's a robot, right? He does look like a very large man, but he's a robot in his core.
Mm-hmm.
He gets his upkeep done at the same mechanic that Sema chills at too. So
right.
I was like, man, it's already Africa to the core, because it really do be like that. You know, you'll be forced to go to the same places and community spots as your nemesis, because I mean, that's just how it is. There's not a lot of other mechanics in the village, man.
Like the thing of, like, you know, when you're if you had a watering hole, it's like an unspoken rule that, you know, the zebra and the lion will drink together.
Yeah,
it's like. Don't do messy things
at the water hole.
Exactly.
Man.
It's one of those things.
Especially during a drought.
Yeah, like that. And, you know, I'm not going to stop going to those places just because you're there.
Yeah, and it's like that thing of botu, you know, or also what they say in Zulu, umuntu ngumuntu ngabantu.
Oh, yeah.
I hope I said that correctly. But yeah, like just that thing of, it's that. At the end of the day, we're one. You know, as humans, and nothing must run so deep that it ruins the very fabric of that.
True. And, you know, and, well, the thing is also, the bad guy is a robot and not human. But, well, like, it still ties the theme.
Yeah, you know, maybe it's in this programming, you know? Maybe as they're programming, they're just there, like, and a drop of buto. Weep. And it's like, done.
No, but now we have to watch the whole series, you know?
Yes,
and, like, just keep coming up with those fan theories. I want to see how it goes.
Yeah, because it's been streaming with, like, more than 3 million views so far.
Ooh.
It's one of the 9 shows that YouTube announced in February 2021 that was going to join its originals roster, you know, as part of a $100 million plan to invest in the future of kids, family, and educational programming.
Educating the children with faces that they recognize.
You
I
know,
love it.
Exactly.
I love it.
And the fact that everyone has a deep Kenyan accent, man, I teared up.
Oh, right.
It was, dude, because you know how representation matters. It means the world to me. You know, as someone who grew up raised on television, seeing so little of the people in my actual reality, it means a lot to finally start seeing that, you know, to hear accents I've heard in real life, to see situations that I can relate to. I mean, first episode again, first thing they're shown doing it, in that mechanic that we're talking about, is making a metal name tag for their goat, bruh. A goat.
Well, she had a pet goat growing up.
No, Serena, please. Come on, I'm trying to make a point here. Listen, but like, I was raised around goats, though. That's the thing. So seeing them choose a goat for the pet, and not just stereotypical African animal like a baby lion or a pet rhino, that was a breath of fresh air, honestly. It's like, thank you. That's relatable.
That's true. Representation matters.
It does. It really, really does.
And that's not all. The Nairobi-based media and tech startup Kukua, founded by Lucretia Bisignani, are producing the series, and the excitement is through the roof because Oscar-winning Kenyan-Mexican actress Lupita Nyong'o is partnering with them as an executive producer, shareholder, and voiceover artist.
Lupita!
Is that her theme song now?
It's a theme song. One more time. Lupita! Man, I love her so much. Yes!
She's an incredible actress.
And someone who really believes in representation. Mm. I mean, especially when it comes to African narratives. You know, she has a children's book out now.
Yes!
Yeah, Solwe.
Solwe, and it's all about teaching young children to love the skin color they were born in.
That's so sweet. You know? I love the cover.
Yes!
Those bright eyes. She's so cute. It's beautiful.
Good. And it's even getting its own film adaptation, which I think is completely deserved.
Right? Mm-hmm. So then this animated series is nothing new for her.
Not at all. This is part and parcel of who she is and the ideals she represents. You know, she even mentioned, and I quote, I share Kukua's goal to empower children through inspiring stories that feature characters in which the children see themselves reflected. I am delighted to be a part of this talented female-led team of purposeful creators.
Oh, hold up. It's a female-led team.
Girl, you know it.
Hey. Super Sema was written by Claudia Lloyd, the four-time winner of the British Academy of Film and Television Arts, BAFTA for short. She's the one that was part of Charlie and Lola. Mr. Bean, hey. Tinga Tinga Tales.
I love all those, by the way. Hey. I have a younger brother, so I was forced to watch them with him. But they're actually really nice.
Of course! And then Super Sema was also directed by Lynn Sutherland, which was the first female African-American director for Disney.
Oof.
She directed Mulan 2.
Hey. Mm. No wonder they decided to launch it on National Women's Day.
Right. It all clicks. It all comes together.
And it also all comes to an end, as that's all from us this episode. We're seeing Kenya being the leading way lately with film industry buzz, and we got to know the ins and outs of the film festival circuit.
Also, South Africa coming through with an adaptation of a worldwide popular show that is sure to capture hearts across the country. Mm.
Special thanks to our content contributors, Muchama Senkala, Amber Edonjasit, and Aaron J. Tamale for sourcing the news for this week's podcast.
Before we go, show some love for your new favorite podcast by following MultiChoice Talent Factory on Insta, Twitter, and Facebook to keep up with us and everything related to us. Which countries shall we cover next? Angola,
Ethiopia,
Zambia,
Swaziland.
Tune in next week to find out as we continue to bring you anything and everything film in Africa. Same time, same place. I'm Nikki Nail.
And this is Serene Serena, signing out.
Salang Sintle.